And Reed Sterles was driving the net, and he sort of got driven into the net by their player. But fortunately, the puck had crossed the goal line before the net was dislodged, and a good goal. And I want to go back the first period too, Dirk. Like, Phoenix Copley only had four saves in that first period. Yeah. So, you know, he had two big ones. But other than that, we didn't give much. We came in with a, you know, real good defensive posture in that first period for the most part, and obviously outshot him 9-4, and then, you know, got going in the second period. That's a big goal in the second period. Good, like I said, David Johnstone, anytime he shoots a puck, he's got that little extra zip on it. So, and I like it because he always changes the angles with the puck. He's either pulling it in or pushing it out. So the goalie never just sees that puck coming at the same angle. And that's why he's a goal scorer.
You can't teach that, can you, really?
Well, you can try, and you can and try to hammer it home. But games, hockey's a game of habits. And if you've had the habit of how you shoot the puck, or, you know, I'll give you an example. One of our players on our team has this habit. Whenever he comes in to shoot the puck, he always has to, for some reason, take a stick and put it ahead of the puck and then back behind the puck and shoot it. Mm-hmm. Like in a game, you know, what if you get your sticks out in front and now, you know, something happens quick. Right. You got, you know, you're just not prepared and not ready. And it's a habit we've tried to break with this, and he still does it. And he's been here 4 years. Well, that'll give it away. He's been here a few years, let's put it that way. But anyway, it's something that it's hard to teach, yeah. But you can work on that. Just some little things to make yourself better around the net.
All right, so the Huskies are up 3-0 at this point. That we're in the second period, and Tanner Carroll gets a goal at the 9:52 mark. Follows up, gets his own rebound. Ryan Fern and Cliff Watson get the assist.
Sweeney reverses flow behind the net now and taken by Watson. Watson will send it up for Fern. Fern over for Tanner Carroll. Carroll's got good speed, bringing it down the right wing on his back end. Carroll loves this play, brings it there, shoots, scores! Tanner Carroll got his own rebound, and he beat Scholl on the second attempt, and Tanner Carroll loves to bring it down that right side on his backhand, and he gets the goal. Huskies go up 4-0.
We asked Tanner after that game, Coach, if he was surprised that he had enough room to bring it from his backhand to the forehand, and he said he was.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we've been working on Tanner to use his speed just to go outside. You know, at times he'll try to, you know, put it, but, you know, through the player, through a stick. With his speed, all he has to do is just pull that puck and go, especially when he's got some time and space on a player. But he made a nice play. You know, you go outside and then you bring it back in and take that quick shot on your forehand when you're coming in your off wing. And Tanner made a nice, good shot, you know, because it gives yourself a chance to get a rebound if it doesn't go in. And he did. And too many times we'll miss the net, but that's the importance of getting it on the net. And the rebound came right there. And just a tip, and we pointed this out to our defensemen. After the player, if you're a defenseman out there listening or a parent of defenseman, after you shoot the puck, like after Tanner shot the puck, their defenseman should have went to him and you'd take him out. And he didn't. He turned to look for the puck, and the puck, you know, bounced sort of to Tanner. So just a little thing. We talked to our defenseman about that goal after. It's a teaching it's a teaching moment, not only for Tanner and the things he did right, but also for our defenseman. And, hey, you can learn from this too. And after that guy shoots it, you put him on his rear end or make sure you get a stick so he doesn't get that rebound. But that's a big goal. Good speed. We talked about using our outside speed all weekend against Bowling Green. We feel we're a good skating team, and when we skate, we can skate. And there's a difference. You know, there's a difference between skating, Dirk, and really skating. Like I gave that example, $1 million at the end of the rink one time. So we're skating like there's $1 million at the end of the rink.
We were. And you look at Tanner's goal there, it reminded me of a goal scored against us. And I don't remember if it was Bowling Green or not, where somebody came down on Copley. It would have been the left side, you know, and picked up his own rebound. Same type of situation almost.
Yeah,
do you remember that goal?
It was a Ferris recently?
I think it was
like
before that. But,
okay, yeah, no, it's a similar play. Similar play, and that can happen. So that's why we use it as a teaching tool, both more so for the defense when we get a chance to look at that.
So 4-0 at that point in the second period. The Huskies give up a goal, their first goal given up of the game. At the 11:51 mark, Brent Tate ends up getting the tally for Bowling Green.
Chance for the Falcons. Down low, backhand shot, save! Copley got a piece of it, but not enough. And just a little bit of a lax by the Huskies, and the Falcons come down and score, make it 4-1.
Just looked like maybe we were a little flat-footed on that one. I don't know, Coach.
We had the puck in the neutral zone, and we talked all weekend about transition and making sure we manage the puck, and we sort of gave it away in the neutral zone. And they're a good transition team, but we had people in the right position and back. We just sort of played a little soft, which we, you know, our defensemen sagged in instead of staying up on their player. And we had a forward there, probably could have went to the puck and played it, but there's some miscommunication between him and our defenseman, who was a little far back, and their guy just came in and got it and took an innocent backhand shot from about the top of the circles. And if Phoenix had any to have back, he'd want that one back. It just caught him in a bad spot and just squeezed through. But, you know, and that's why you have to continue to play, because even a little spark like that can give them some momentum. And shortly thereafter, we took a penalty.
Yes.
You know, so now it's 4-1, and they're on the power play, and boy, oh boy. I've been in that rink a lot at Bowling Green, and I've been in a lot of really weird games there where the momentum just changes, and the next thing you know, it's like 3-4 goals going in. So I never was really at ease in this game.
Well, it was a great situation that we got the kill on that penalty kill.
That was a huge penalty
kill. I was nervous during that time, too.
No question. That was a big kill at a critical time in the game. And that's why sometimes stats can be misleading. You look at your penalty killing or your power play, and you know the numbers might not seem great. And then that's why I'm not so concerned right now with our power play percentage. It's what we do going forward. Like this weekend, and we'll talk more about our power play, I'm sure, but you know we had 3 goals on the power play. You know, so it doesn't matter what your percentage was going into the game. Right. It's what you're doing as we move forward, and if we can take advantage of those power plays.
And you always seem to stress timeliness,
no question,
of certain things. And we talk about Major League Baseball pitchers that have a stressful 60 pitches compared to a easy 60 pitches.
Well,
that makes a big difference, doesn't
it? We'll talk about Saturday's game and how important timeliness is of your power play.
Well, speaking of timeliness, great goal by Jacob Johnstone at the end of that second period to get back that 4-goal lead for the Huskies.
Intercepted by Vallis. 16 seconds left. Vallis for Ricks. Ricks had trouble with it. Sends it to the front of the goal and hit the side of the net. Ricks spins around, sends it around and a wrap around behind the net. Here's Hannah with a shot. Scores! Hannah with 5 seconds left to go in the period. Whether it was deflected or not, Dave, I do not know, but the Huskies go up by a 5-1 score.
Jacob Johnstone did redirect that. He gets credit for the goal, a big goal for the Huskies going into the intermission of the second with Bowling Green out shooting the Huskies 11-9 in that period. The Huskies lead it by a score of 5-1 going into the third.
That was a big goal. You know, I thought, you know, they were, you know, a 3-goal lead is pretty safe, you know, but a 4-goal lead, I think, and at the timing, and you could just see them really sag after that, and I thought that was a big goal, and we haven't played with many 4-goal leads going into the third period, Dirk, so it was a little strange for us.
So we go in the third period, and there's no scoring. Things get a little bit rough in the third period, and a little bit chippier, I guess, because of the frustration of Bowling Green.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think their coach was just... And I'm only, you know, and I shouldn't even assume, but I think they, you know, probably got the message they need to play harder. And, you know, I think that's what happened. I don't think it was too bad. I mean, it just got a little more physical and whatnot. And, you know, I didn't like the last 5 minutes, but we're part of that too. You know, we got to just stay away from some things and just finish the game strong in the right way.
Well, they get a power play at the end, a 4-on-3 advantage, and they capitalize on it.
Carpenter able to win the batter, get it back, and now a power play for Bowling Green. Bowling Green with control. 4-on-3 advantage. 5-1 Michigan Tech with the lead. Huskies want to kill this off. Right down low. Shot scored. What a play. So the back door, putting it in for the Bowling Green Falcons. Brent Tate, top shelf, and it's 5-2.
Tate did not get credit for that goal. He whiffed like he was ready for that pass to hit his stick, and it looked like it did, but it actually ricocheted, I think, off of one of our players.
Yeah, off Mike Neville, yeah.
Okay.
Mike was in real good position and was all set to take the stick, and obviously just went off his skate. And I thought our guys did a good job killing that penalty. It's one, you know, you don't want to give them any life or any momentum. You know, just for the next night. It's late in the game. I mean, the goal really had no bearing on the outcome, but just for Phoenix and her team and just going in the next night, you don't like to give a team any life at all.
All right, so the Huskies get the win. The final score, 5-2 in favor of Michigan Tech. 2 points in the WCHA. Michigan Tech goes 1-for-3 on the power play. Bowling Green, 1-for-3 on the mat advantage. Shots were 28-21 in favor of Michigan Tech. Any other final thoughts on that first game, Coach?
A good, strong defensive effort by our team. You know, you give a team like Bowling Green only 21 shots on goal at home. You've done a good job. They outshoot their opponents, I'd say, 80% of the time. time, 85% of the time this year. So I thought we did a good job just eliminating their scoring chances. You know, they had that first two early, which were big. And then, like I said, we got the lead. Our power play got a goal for us. A lot of good things going on. A lot of guys played hard. A lot of guys played well. Malcolm Gould gets a goal. You know, Jake Johnstone gets a goal on that.